Jai Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Gopi Jana Balava, Jaya Giri Vardhari, Jaya Giri Vardhari, Jaya
Gopi Jana Balava,
Jaya Giri Vardhari. Jaya Jashoda Nandana, Jaya Vrajana Rangana, Jaya Jashoda Nandana, Jaya Vrajana Rangana, Jaya Jamuna Tira Vamachari, Jaya Kunjabi Hari. Jamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Kunjabi Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Jagora Hari
Jagora Hari Jagora Hari Jagora Hari Jagora Hari Jagora Hari Jagora Hari Jagora Hari Jagora Hari Jagora Hari Jagora Hari Jagora Hari Jagora Hari Jagora Hari Jagora Hari Jagora Hari Jagora Hari Jagora Namachar Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Prince Kaho Sri Krishna Daitanya Bhavanachananda Sri Devi Gadadas Vasili Gova Bhaktivinda Ki Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopinath Sham Kun Radha Kun Guru Gavaran Ki Vrindavan Ram Ki Jamunamai Ki Bhakti Deva Ki Vrindeva Ki Tosmarani Ki Nandakoti Vaishnavani Ki Andrachi Mad Bhagavatam ki, Haridam Sampratam ki, Govinda Premanandi Devi Bhav, Gosinda Bodhisattva, Gosinda Bodhisattva, Gosinda Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaya Narottamam Devim Sarasatim Vyasam Adodaya Nidiraya Sundvatam Sakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Pradyantasto Badrani Virinuti Suhitsatam Nastapareshu Abadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naistiki Krishna Svadama Bhagate Dhamma Gyan Vidhi Saha Kalomastad Visha Mesha Prana Kodino Ritaha Om Gyanatan Randasya Gyanjana Shalakaya Chachur Militamina Tasma Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes to the true sight of knowledge of my special obeisances, my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam today, the verse, third canto, chapter 4, verse 17. And please repeat it after me. Mantreshu.
Mantreshu.
Mam. Va. Upahuya. Yatvam. Mantreshu mam va upahuya yatvam. Akunti takanda sadhana bodha.
Akunti takanda sadhana
bodha. Prichche prabho mudga mudga mud. Da ava pramata.
Sishe pramukta ava pramata.
Dano mano maharati vadeva. Mantre shimam vahu pahu yayatvam.
Mantre shimam vahu pahu
Akunti takanda sadhana bodha.
Akunti takanda sadhana
bodha. Prichche prabho muddha iva pramathas.
Prichche prabho muddha iva pramathas.
Tano mano mohayati vadeva.
Mantreshu mamba upahuya yatvam.
Please repeat, Mantreshu, in consultations, Mam, unto me, Vai, as either, Upahuya,
by calling,
Yat,
as much as,
from
your Lordship,
Akuntita,
without hesitation,
Akanda,
without being separated,
Sada,
eternally,
Atma,
self,
Bodha,
intelligent,
Vichche,
ask,
Prabhu,
O my Lord,
Mukta,
bewildered,
Niva,
as if it were so,
Pramakaha,
although never bewildered,
Tat,
that,
Ma,
our,
Mama,
mine,
Mohayati,
bewilders,
Eva,
that it is so,
Adeva,
O my Lord.
Translation,
please repeat after me.
O my Lord,
your eternal self,
is never divided by the influence of
time.
And there is no limitation
to your perfect knowledge.
Thus you were sufficiently able
to consult with yourself.
Yet you called upon me
for consultation
as if bewildered,
although you were never bewildered.
And this act of yours
bewilders me.
Oh my Lord, your eternal self is never divided by the influence of time,
and there is no limitation to your perfect knowledge.
Thus you are sufficiently able to consult with yourself,
yet you call upon me for consultation
as if bewildered,
although you are never bewildered.
And this act of yours bewilders me.
Uddhava was never actually bewildered,
but he says that all these contradictions appear to be bewildering.
The whole discussion between Krishna and Uddhava was meant for the benefit of Maitreya, who was sitting nearby.
The Lord used to call Uddhava for consultation when the city was attacked by Jarasandha
and others,
and when he executed great sacrifices as part of his routine royal work as Lord of Dwarka.
The Lord has no past, present, and future because he is unhampered by the influence of eternal time,
and thus nothing is hidden from him.
He is eternally self intelligent.
Therefore, his calling for Uddhava to give him enlightenment is certainly astonishing.
All these actions of the Lord appear to be contradictory,
although there is no contradiction in the routine activities of the Lord.
Therefore, it is better to see them as they are and not attempt to explain them. Jai Srila Prabhupada. So, here we're going to mention some of the contradictions so we're aware of them as devotees, so others don't say them to us and then we don't have an answer. And then also, it's mentioned here about past, present, and future, and of course, all bewildering material time. So here it's mentioned about Uddhava is saying, this act bewilders me. So in the Brihad Bhagavatamritam, when Gopakumar met one of the Vishnu Dutas in Vaikuntha, he said, "Oh, Vishnu," and he immediately bows down. And then the Vishnu Dutas said, no, I'm not Vishnu. That's not me. I'm not Vishnu. And so in this way, he was bewildered. But what would the bewilderment be? There's no material bewilderment in Vaikuntha. So this would be part of his ecstasy. Anything, it could be anything that inspires a devotee or causes a devotee to be increase his ecstasy. So if someone looks like Vishnu, then immediately he's thinking of Vishnu. So in this way, these type of things, even sometimes just a blue cloud, like Prabhupada was saying, if you want to see the Lord very quickly, see how he is in nature, see him in nature. So you see the clouds, oh, Krishna's hair. You see the river, oh, Krishna's veins, the flowing of the blood in the veins. And then the mountains, oh, his bones, like that. So in that way, in all circumstances, you're thinking of Krishna, and when one gets on the Brahmaputra platform, then automatically these things start to increase the ecstasy. Now, Krishna's also saying that we have there's past, present, and future in mundane time. So we have past, present, and future because we change bodies. But my past, present, and future is different from your past, present, and future. Krishna has no past, present, and future. Therefore, he is eternal. He doesn't change his body. Nityo nityanam chaitanya chaitanyanam eka bahanam yoga vidyati kama. So there's one supreme nitya, and there's many nityanam, or little eternal. So it's like Prabhupada says, there's supreme Lord, and then there's also the little gods, thinking that we're little gods. And then also eko, which is one, eko bahanam, many, yoga vidyati kama, and that one is supplying the needs of the so many different living entities. Also, in Bhagavad Gita 7:26, Vedaham Samatitani Vartamani Charjuna Bhavishyami Javutani Mamtu Veda Nakaschana. That I know everything that has happened in the past, everything that is happening in the present, all things that are yet to come, but me, no one knows. So Krishna's saying it, no one knows him, even though we think we know Krishna. Okay? So also in Ishapanishad, because we're mentioning here about some of the contradictions, so we're going to go through all the different ones now. In mantra 5, tadejate tanajate tadare tanvantike tanantarasya sarvasya tarisavasasya bayataha. In there, Prabhupada says, the Supreme Lord walks, and he does not walk. He's far away, he's very near as well. He's within everything, yet he's outside of everything. Contradictions. So here's what the Prabhupada says in the purport to number 5, Ishapanishad verse. Here's an explanation of the Supreme Lord's transcendental activities by his inconceivable potencies. There are two sets of contradictory words mentioned herein to prove the inconceivable potency of the Lord. He walks and he does not walk. These two phrases are contradictory. If someone can walk, then it is improper to say that he cannot walk. These contradictions show the inconceivable power of God. With our limited fund of knowledge, we cannot accommodate such things, and therefore the Lord is conceived in terms of our limited powers of understanding. The impersonalist philosophers of the Mayavad school accept only the impersonalistic part of the Lord's activities, and refute his personal feature. The Bhagavad school, however, accepts the Lord in both ways, in other words, as personal and impersonal. And the Bhagavats also accept his inconceivable potencies. Without inconceivable potency, there's no meaning to the words Supreme Lord. So inconceivable, simultaneously inconceivably one and different. So that's the Achintya Bheda Bheda philosophy, is that it covers all the angles of inconceivable simultaneousness. So this is the unique aspect of solving all contradictions, either in Ras or even in mundane comparisons and examples that they might give in the Upanishads. So it also, the Upanishads say that he has no hands, he has no legs, he has no eyes, yet he sees, and yet he walks. So only a Bhagavat could actually describe what that really means. Otherwise, the impersonals are just saying, oh, it's just, it's all Maya. It's just, you know, and so they say the Lord can have hands, can have legs. That's why you see the form of Lord Jagannath, where it doesn't look like he has hands. But in ecstasy, he's like this. But actually, he has hands like anything. Anior, give me more, like Krishna said in Govardhan Hill. Bring me more food, bring me more food. So also in Bhagavad Gita, in verse 9:4, Maya Tatam Idam Sarvam Jagadavyakta Murtina Matsani Sarabhutani Nachaham Tesva Vashtitaha. By me and my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I'm not in them. Another contradiction, perceivably. The Krishna is in the super soul, he's within everyone's heart, yet at the same time, he's outside. Sometimes the demons might try to rip open the heart, where's Vishnu? You know, but the thing is, Vishnu's not there for them. But for the devotee, he's there. Also, in this is another verse which we all hear. Tarko patishya shuteyo vibina nasa vishir yasya matam vibinam dharmasya tatvam vihitam guhayam mahajano yinakata sapantaha. Logical arguments are inconclusive. Scriptures varies. And every sage has a different point of view. The truth of Dharma is kept a mystery. Okay, that's a contradiction. So the way traversed by the great souls, that alone is the path. Mahabharata, Vanaparva, chapter 313, verse 117. So this is why these contradictory statements in the Shastra has to be understood through the guru, through the acharya. Acharya Vaideya, that the acharya knows everything, and therefore he will reveal everything. So also, Krishna is the father of the universe, and Radharani is the mother. The mother is 100 times more worshipable, respectable, and important than the father. But wait, I thought Krishna was the source of everything. That's a supposed contradiction. But at the same time, another quote, this quote's from Narada Pancharatra, second Ratra, verse 67. But there's another verse in the Narada Pancharatra, I have it here, which says that Radharani is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So at the same time, this is also true for her. But unless you're a Vaishnava, you won't understand that. But then the impersonalist will be struck and go, what is this? So in this way, this is another reason why one has to have the guidance of the acharya. Then also we have the contradictions of Veda, Veda, like that. How can you have one and not the other? Or, the Nimbarkis, this is Nimbarka Sampradaya, have Veda Veda philosophy. We have Achintya Veda Veda philosophy. The Nimbarkis say that there is at times oneness, and at other times, difference in the creation. But with the Achintya Bheda Bheda philosophy, there is oneness and difference simultaneously in creation. And that is inconceivable to the ordinary mind. In other words, it's contradictory. How is that possible? But this is why Lord Chaitanya waited for all the other acharyas to come and appear, and he even met them and talked to them and said, don't reveal my identity. Of course, as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we accept that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has mentioned this in Navadvipa Mahatmya. But at the same time, this is what happened, and then Lord Chaitanya appeared afterwards and presented a Chittabhedaveda Tattva philosophy. So also, one has to understand, as a devotee, he has to understand the whims of Krishna, because it can change. Well, wait, 1 minute Krishna said this, the next minute he says this. So, the word of scripture, in other words, the word of God, is difficult. The will of a devotee is more difficult, but to deal with the whims of Krishna is most difficult. In the spiritual world, every soul is practically eager to reciprocate with each and every desire of Krishna, and which way that desire will move the next moment, we cannot predict. And therefore, our experiences in the material world are designed to prepare us to deal with those dynamic desires of Krishna in the spiritual world. So in the spiritual world, there are no contradictions. Now also, in page, there's also a connection here with Lord Shiva. And in the Padma Purana, 6th canon, chapter 235, there are secret teachings of Shiva to Parvati here. She asked, how will one know who the heretics are, or heretics? Shiva said, they will smear ashes on their bodies, carry skulls. And I say Shiva is superior to Vishnu. Parvati was struck, she said. Well, that's you. And so, of course, Shiva says, yes. He said, I have a secret. In the past, Asuras were worshipping Vishnu, and this was making it very hard for the demigods to deal with them because they became so powerful. And that's a contradiction. It's like, what? Wait a minute, the demons don't worship Vishnu. But in the past, according to Padma Purana, they did. To get why? Power. So there was a motive there. So Vishnu asked me, in other words, Shiva is saying, Vishnu asked me to create these heretical doctrines to confuse the Asuras, and even Vishnu would worship me to confuse the Asuras. Every person say that all the time. Oh, well, Ramachandra, he worshipped Lord Shiva before he attacked Lanka. And then also, they say that you'll see that even Krishna will worship Lord Shiva, and then so will Vishnu, and like this. They give these examples. But this is actually to bewilder the Asuras. There is described the different scriptures created by Shiva and the Mayavadi Bhashya that eventually came out in the form of Shankaracharya as an incarnation of Lord Shiva. And then also we have Uddhava instructs the queens. Uddhava then instructed Lord Krishna's queens, Maharaj Parikshit and Vrajnava, Krishna's grandson, on the importance of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. He told them, when Lord Krishna is unmanifest, he will appear from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Now that's like an apparent contradiction according to mundane logic. Wait a minute, you're saying that someone's going to appear from a book? But for the devotees, the words of Krishna are not different than Krishna, and therefore they're spiritual. He told them, when Lord Krishna is unmanifest, he will appear from Srimad Bhagavatam whenever and wherever the devotee Bhagavat hears and recites the book Bhagavat. At that time and at that place, Lord Krishna personally appears. Wherever a verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, or even a half verse, it is recited, Lord Krishna and his beloved gopis manifest there. So that's right now. They're right here as well. Okay, now here's one that the impersonalist, many times there's a dilemma for the impersonalist, and the contradiction, the devotee sees it. But at the same time, when you analyze the philosophy of the impersonalist, then you see how there's contradictions in their own preaching. So for a impersonalist teacher, this is called the impersonalist teacher's dilemma. Please listen. If the living entities are not individuals, then what is the use of their being taught anything? And how could a teacher be of any value unless he is an individual free of material defect? But if when one is free of any material defect, he's no longer an individual, then no one can teach the truth, because the truth isn't a person, but an imperson. So how can any imperson say anything? So therefore, anyone who claims to be an impersonal teacher is negating his teaching by teaching it. But if he doesn't teach it, then how can anyone learn it? Which is also proof that everyone is a person. So this is why a devotee, a Bhagava, he can see so many different things in the proper light. You see, that's why it's Shastra Chakshus. Through Shastra, one can actually see, and also through the blessings of the Guru. That's why we say, Om Jnana Tamaranda Sajjanam Jana Shalakaya. Chakshuru Militam, he actually takes off the covering on our eyes. Now going on here also, we have Lord Chaitanya. He, at the same time, sometimes the devotee may ask, well, this appears to be contradictory, and this is it. Lord Krishna is desiring to understand why Srimati Radharani loves him so much. So he incarnates as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's fine. Once Chaitanya appears and experiences the emotions of Radha, then from that incarnation, Krishna then understands how much Radha loves him. He fully experiences Radha Rasa, pure love. But why does he have to keep appearing in every day of Brahma if Krishna now fully understands Radha's love for him? He could want to keep tasting that love anew, because it is ever increasing and expanding unlimitedly. Or, from another angle of vision, a day of Brahma is nothing for Krishna. So why keep coming back so soon, Krishna? So then Yogamaya would have to enter to make him forget. So then he has to search out Radha's love anew and keep reincarnating. Jayate Radha. So these are some of the things that go on. The devotee analyzes. Oh, that's not that one. And then this way, sometimes at first we're scratching our heads, but then afterwards we analyze it and we review it, and then we get inspirations from within the heart, and automatic, there's the answer. Just like sometimes the Buddhists will have a realization. But the devotee gets them all the time. And especially when one actually engages in worshiping the deity, you can get Archana Siddhi. Then you can actually have communication with the deity. I can't do that, but I know devotees who are. Krishna appears, and Radha appears in the dream in the deity form. That's the first way how they manifest. So, going on here. So if God is perfect, why is it that he appears, that he commits sin in this world? If God is perfect, why does it appear that he sins in a world of sin? Because when Krishna does something that is sinful for an ordinary man, then in Krishna's case, God makes it spiritual. Because karmis say that, they go, well, how could Krishna be God? He runs around with so many girls. That is why he's known as Mukkanchor. In other words, when Krishna steals, it's spiritual. And glorified. Because when he steals butter, he's glorified. If we steal butter, then we'll be thrown in jail. Or if God dances with someone else's wife, if God dances with someone else's wife, it's spiritual and glorified. But if we do it, then it's considered abominable. It's adultery. So, now also, we have it that sometimes it's hard to understand how the Lord might be benedicting us. This is from Madhurya Kandambini by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. In the third shower of nectar of the Madhurya Kundalini, last sentence, chapter 2, quote, thus the Lord, thinking of the welfare of his devotee, in order to increase his humility towards and longing for the Lord, bestows on him all sorts of suffering. As his mercy, sounds contradictory. This suffering is not the effect of sinful actions of the previous lives. Hari Baba. It's like, you know. So anytime something's going on, you say, well, what am I? You know, we're suffering. We have to see, what is Krishna trying to teach us? Maybe it's Krishna's special blessing on us to wake us up, or to create more longing for the Lord. Like Queen Kuti says, give me the suffering. That verse all the time used to scare me, because it's like, I don't want all the suffering to be brought. I mean, it's hard enough as it is. But in this way, when the Lord does this, we have to understand it's the Lord acting in such a way. But there was one devotee in this community, I won't say who, she was saying is that, oh Lord, I want my mind to stay very clear. If I have any karma to suffer, let it be in my body. Sure enough, it all manifested in her body. But her mind is crystal clear. Okay, then also, okay, now also, this is a little side note here, that this is from the Brahma Purana. It says, because it's a contradiction, so I'm just, there's no alphabetical order, but this is another contradiction. And this is why I had to mention it, because I said, it doesn't make sense. Goats and horses are pure in their mouths, but not the mouths of cows and calves. I mean, what? I thought the cow was all pure. I mean, all the different demigods are in the cow. I had to think about it. Now, someone else may have a better understanding, and I'm open to it. I thought, well, wait a minute, because I used to, one time I took care of cows for a few years. And when Ananda, our cow, gave birth, after the calf was born, she ate the whole afterbirth. And I was shocked. I go, wait a minute. I said, that's flesh. What is she eating that for? And I was bewildered. I said, well, this is weird. You know, of course, it's natural for an animal, but the cow is all pure. So I said, how is it? So in the mouth. And the next one is that at that time I didn't read it, but I read it later on in the Dharma Shastras. It says that one should not drink the golden milk after the calf's born. But that's where all the nutrients is. So you think, well, that should be excellent to take, but the calf drinks it, because all of the nutrients are in there, but for some reason also, there's something that the devotee is not supposed to take. It's considered impure. So in that way, these things I was analyzing, I was saying, oh, this is interesting, apparent contradiction. Okay. So then also, dealing more here with Krishna's so-called adultery. If Krishna was engaged in mundane adultery with other men's wives, then why can't we become liberated by thinking about different cases of adultery in history of men and women? Why is it that saints are becoming liberated by thinking of Krishna and the gopis? How do you prove by logic that Krishna is not just a lucky yogi with all kinds of mystic power? Naturally, one who thinks he is the greatest wants to show off his power. Krishna wants to remain unknown. I know everything that has happened in the past, but me, no one knows. Just like Brahma and Indra thought that Krishna was just a coward boy. Krishna wants to please his devotees more than he wants to please himself. And he bends over backwards to do this. You take one step to Krishna, and then he takes three steps towards you. There are no yogis who are still glorified 5,100 years later, yet Krishna is still glorified. For example, when Krishna steals yogurt, he's glorified as Makhanchor. When he dances with others' wives, he's glorified. And when he urinates as a prank, he's glorified. If a yogi did any of these things, he would be kicked out immediately and he would not be respected. Well, even now and in the past, great yogis and scholars have given up everything to meditate on and achieve Krishna's grace. If Krishna was just a lucky yogi, and would they be renounced for him? No. If one goes to temples of demigods or even a Vishnu temple, then they are displaying weapons to fight demons, and they are all busy doing something. But Krishna is just enjoying with the coward boys or gopis with Mother Yasoda. Because some people say, well, if he's God, he must be doing something. Like they show pictures of God with the white beard, right here, and he's throwing thunderbolt, you know. And they always show him as an old man. It's actually Lord Brahma. But in this way, Krishna's relaxed and he says, you know, I didn't have to do anything. Everyone's working under me. I didn't have to do anything. He's just enjoying it. If Krishna plays on his flute, then he's just enjoying, not working. There are also so many pastimes with Krishna that are with everyday people. And those pastimes have proof and remnants of the activities. This book is called Krishna Deities and Their Miracles by Stephen Knapp or Srinandanandana. Also, Lord Chaitanya, he hid himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead for many years. It's mentioned in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Adi Lila, Volume 2, Chapter 15, Verse 2, Page 399. As the Lord remained absorbed in scholastic pastimes in this way, he lived incognito without revealing himself to anyone. So in this way, we can see that Krishna does not like to be. He only reveals himself to his devotee. So the next one is, in relationship to Ishapanishad, text number 8, people say, well, if Krishna's God, why is he bleeding? They see pictures in the battlefield, and you read it in the Mahabharata, that Krishna gets hit with arrows and he's bleeding. But in your scriptures, it says, para-contradiction, that he's without veins. So how is he bleeding? So, Sapaya Gachikama Kaya Navranam. As now, Varam Shigama Papa Vidam, Kavir Manishi Parabhu Swayambhu, Itayato Itat Pritan Vidyadach, Chasvadibya Samabhyaha. Such a person must know, in fact, the greatest of all, who is unembodied, omniscient, beyond reproach, without veins, as Navaram, without veins, pure and uncontaminated. The self-sufficient philosopher is awarding everyone's desire since time immemorial. So Prabhupada says here, in the Shruti mantras it's said, he has no hands and no legs like us, but that he has different types of hands and legs by which he can accept all we offer him and walk faster than anyone else. These things are confirmed in the mantra of Sri Ishapanishad by the use of the words like omnipotent. And then also, it's mentioned here, Sri Ishapanishad says that he is antiseptic and prophylactic. In other words, when you bleed, you're considered to be impure. Blood is an impure thing. But for Krishna, for Bhishma, when Bhishma saw Krishna, he hit with all the arrows and he was bleeding, he said, oh, this is just ecstasy, he's coming towards me. And he just, for him it was ecstasy. So it wasn't considered contaminated. Ishapanishad says that he's antiseptic and prophylactic, pure, and uncontaminated. He is antiseptic in the sense that even an impure thing in the estimation of the mundane world can become purified just by touching him. And then the word apapavidham, that is nothing like sin, can touch him. Even if he may do something which appears to be sinful, such actions are all good, as there is no question of the Lord's being affected by sin. In all circumstances, he is Sudha, most purified, even compared to the sun. Okay, so now we're going to be talking about the time factor, because this is one of the important things that's mentioned here within the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srimad Bhagavatam 3:10:10. And it says here, I'll just read the translation. Vidura inquired from Maitreya, O my Lord, O great and learned sage, kindly describe eternal time, which is another form of the Supreme Lord, the wonderful actor. What are the symptoms of that eternal time? Please describe them to us in detail. Purport. It says, the complete universe is manifestation of varieties of entities, beginning from the atoms up to the gigantic universe itself. And all is under the control of the Supreme Lord in his form of Kala, or eternal time. The controlling time has different dimensions in relation to a particular physical embodiment. There is a time for atomic dissolution, a time for the universal dissolution. There is a time for the annihilation of the body of the human being. And there is a time for the annihilation of the universal body. Also, growth, development, and resultant actions all depend on the time factor. Vidura wanted to know in detail the different physical manifestations and their times of annihilation. And then 11, verse 3, 10, 11. Maitreya said, eternal time is the primordial source of the interactions of the three modes of nature. It is unchangeable and limitless, and it works as the instrument of the Supreme Personality of Godhead for his pastimes in the material creation. And Prabhupada says here in the purport, the impersonal time factor is the background of the material manifestation as the instrument of the Supreme Lord. It is the ingredient of assistance offered to material nature. No one knows where time began and where it ends. And it is time only which can keep a record of the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the material manifestation. This time factor is the material cause of creation and is therefore a self-expansion of the personality of Godhead. Time is considered the impersonal feature of the Lord. The time factor is also explained by modern men in various ways. Some accept it almost as it's explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. For example, in Hebrew literature, time is accepted in the same spirit as a representation of God. It is stated herein, quote, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, unquote. Metaphysically, time is distinguished as absolute and real. Absolute time is continuous and is unaffected by the speed of slowness of material things. Time is astronomically and mathematically calculated in relation to the speed, change, and life of a particular object. Factually, however, time has nothing to do with the relativities of things. Rather, everything is shaped and calculated in terms of the facility offered by time. Time is the basic measurement of the activity of our senses by which we calculate past, present, and future. But in factual calculation, time has no beginning and no end. Pandit Chemika says that even a slight fraction of time cannot be purchased with millions of dollars. And therefore, even a moment of time lost without profit must be calculated as the greatest loss in time. Time is not subject to any form of psychology, nor are the moments objective realities in themselves, but they are dependent on particular experiences. Therefore, Sri Jiva Goswami concludes that the time factor is intermixed with the activities, actions, and reactions of the external energy of the Lord. The external energy or material nature works under the superintendence of the time factor as the Lord himself, and that is why material nature appears to have produced so many wonderful things. And the cosmic manifestation, Bhagavad Gita 9:10, confirms this, Maya Dakshina Prakriti Suyate Sa Characharam. And there's one other verse I want to share here. It says, this is from 3rd Canto, chapter 29, verse 37. It says, the time factor who causes the transformation of the various material manifestations is another feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anyone who does not know that time is the same Supreme Personality of Godhead is afraid of the time factor. Purport. Everyone is afraid of the activities of time, but a devotee who knows that the time factor is another representation or manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead has nothing to fear from the influence of time. The phrase rupa bheda spadam is very significant. By the influence of time, so many forms are changing. For example, when a child is born, his form is small. But in the course of time, that form changes into a larger body, the body of a boy, and then the body of a young man. Similarly, everything is changed and transformed by the time factor, or by the indirect control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Usually, we cannot see any difference between the body of a child and the body of a boy or young man because we know that these changes are due to the action of the time factor. There is cause for fear for a person who does not know how time acts. And then, of course, in the next verse also mentions the same thing. And it says here, Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the enjoyer of all sacrifices, is the time factor, and the master of all masters. He enters everyone's heart, he is the support of everyone, and he causes every being to be annihilated by another. So that's Bhagavatam has spoken on the time factor. It's also mentioned in Bhagavad Gita 11.32, the Blessed Lord said, time I am, destroyer of the worlds, and I have come to engage all people. Then also in Bhagavad Gita 10.30, it says, among the subduers, I am time. 10.33 says, I am inexhaustible time. So this also showing how the Lord is the time factor. And Prabhupada's known as Abhaya Charanaravinda, or he has no fear of time, the time factor. Hare Krishna. So, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, and if there's any questions. All Prabhupada quotes, all from...
From modern science perspective, they don't have a definition for time. It's all just measured in relative motion. They don't have a definition for life either, for that matter. But yeah. Hey, a small thing. I always heard like our cows here. I mean, cow stew is pure, this and that, and they're favored with Krishna, but I never really heard everything, our cows in this realm, the conditioned souls, so I never heard that everything about them is pure, but they're favored with Krishna and considered the cows. Just a small thing.
Yeah, there's the five ingredients of the cow. The cow ghee, the cow milk, the cow urine, the cow stool. You like this? All these different elements are actually used in Abhishek to the Amadidi. Now, the rishis would have been definitely sure before you pour anything that might be impure on the deity. So in this way, these five ingredients of the cow are very pure and auspicious. And Lakshmi was trying to find a way how to get in. All the demigods had already taken all their spots on the cow, if you've ever seen the poster. And then Lakshmi was like, how can I get in? I want to be with you. I want, you're so auspicious. And then the Kamagomata said, you can be in my stool. She said, okay. And she went right into the stool. Now, that's only with grass-fed cows. Only with grass-fed cows. Not with cows in the industry that are fed all kinds of nonsense, and this is why they get the cow, brain, the spongy brain that was killing all the cows all over the world because they were grinding up parts of other animals and then putting into their feed, to make more protein, to make them more robust. But this was actually a very sinful thing to do. So grass-fed cows, it's all pure, yes.
Well,
some of it has to do, number one, how you treat them, how the cows are treated.
Yeah.
Like devotees have seen, you treat them nice, they become like little children, they're so. But if they're in the industry, you know, and they feel they're not loved, oh yeah, they can be a totally different animal in all detail. I agree.
Yeah, well, even our cows, but yeah, we're supposed to protect the cows. I'm not arguing against that.
In the Ramayana, it's stated that Sita Devi had actually caused the cow its mouth. Uh-huh. I mean, there's a pastime there, yeah. But I think it has to do with being a witness or something, and maybe the cow didn't witness what was going on or something.
Now, this is the Valmiki Ramayana.
Yeah, I know within the Ramayana there's a course still on that. I have a question. Sita Devi caused the cow that her mouth would be impure in the Ramayana. But I don't remember the story. I don't remember the whole pastime. But listen, whichever Rama, Srila Prabhupada within his purport, he also explained some of the contradictions. I mean, it might have been a few verses before or after, but he was saying that the Lord, for example, he stated that he's unborn, but then he takes birth. You know, he's unafraid of anything, but yet he's afraid of Mother Yashoda, or he's afraid of Jarasandha, or whatever. You know, so Srila Prabhupada gave some of those contradictions between one of the purports. I have a question. It stated that time is absent in the spiritual world. Can you?
Time as we know it.
Yeah, it's absent in the spiritual world. So let us say people are doing things there, right? Devotees are doing things in the world. I mean, wouldn't they be like a past, present?
Well, just like, okay, the way it is in the material world, we're all affected by the days one after another. But when one has a relationship with Krishna, just like each gopi would see Krishna was with her, or the cowherd boy. So it can be different activities going on simultaneously. It might be at night, it might be in the daytime, according to what that devotee wants. So the time factor can't enter because it's all contradictory. It's all, oh, wait a minute, this cowherd boy is enjoying with Krishna in night, and this is what he's perceiving. But then the other one right next to him might be enjoying in the daytime with Krishna in something else. So in that way, time factor doesn't enter. But of course, you have the full moon comes out even though there's no need of light, and the sun comes out even though there's no need of the sun. You know, these are all apparent contradictions. And many times Prabhupada would say the devotees have questions like this, you know, the detailed, you know, real knotty questions. Prabhupada said, why don't you just become purified and go there and find out for yourself?
I was also thinking, because, you know, people body don't change too. They're just like, you know, you're not growing old and dying. It remains the same, and yeah, everything is eternal. You know, so I was thinking on that one.
Yes, Prabhu. Mam tu vedana kachana. See, for me, nobody knows. But in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, he say, I'm the compiler of the Vedas. I'm the know of the Vedas. And by the Vedas, I am to be known. So it appears that
well, how much can one really know? Because it's just like someone says, like in India, I was there for 4 years, and so many people say, oh, I know Krishna. And Prabhupada said, yes, you know Krishna, but you don't know the science of Krishna, because that goes on unlimitedly. Many people, different devotees even, they may understand the Lord in a certain way, but that's not the whole picture of Krishna. Just like they sometimes they show Krishna alone. Prabhupada said he's never alone. And then all the different pastimes that expand unlimitedly. That's why we have such wonderful scriptures that have been made available by the six Goswamis. Lord Chaitanya empowered them so one could actually dive deep into all these different pastimes
deeper, deeper than anything in the Vedas. That's why Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, O Arjuna, he says, please ignore the flowery words of the Vedas. You say, and they say, well, you know, only by the Vedas am I to be known. But if you look at the four Vedas, in there, there's very little Krishna. There's some Vishnu, yes. There's some Vamanadeva, yes. But the thing is to know Krishna himself. That's the Vrindavan, the Vraj mood. And that is goes very, extremely deep. And Prabhupada said, it's like an ocean. You're swimming in the ocean, but you can swim forever because the realizations keep expanding and expanding. So in that way, it's not limited, you know, because sometimes, yeah, Krishna says, yeah, for the ordinary person, I'm not known. But for one who is a bhakta, the realizations go on unlimitedly.
Yeah, I think it really meant to that nobody knows me in full.
Exactly. Even the gopis don't know him in full, because one minute Krishna's there, then he disappears. Well, if they know everything, they say, well, I know what Krishna meant. So it's like that. This is where Yoga Maya comes in. Even for Krishna, Yoga Maya assists him. Sometimes he'll forget something and he gets quote-unquote bewildered to enhance the pastime more. Why didn't he know, like here yesterday we heard in class, that Radharani got very upset because Krishna wasn't on time? Well, Krishna, he would know, I have to go meet Radharani, that's most important. But to enhance the Leela, he's late.
Right.
So in that way, he knows and he doesn't know. Yoga Maya can cover him to enhance the Leela. And then a whole new Leela comes out, you know.